Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I trust that we have all rested very well. It's been a very long holiday. Easter plus Salah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Tonight, first off, I want to say thank you, Pastor. And I learned something today. It takes a whole lot to get things that we see here working. It takes a whole lot to get things done. So I really want to use this medium to say a very big thank you to the technical crew. For Pastor explained something to us last time when he was teaching us something, I think some weeks back. He said, we only see the mic, we hold the microphone, and all of a sudden it's working. It takes effort somewhere, put by some people, for that to happen. Praise God. So thanks, Techie, for giving us voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want us to look at what I titled Kingdom Mandate. Kingdom Mandate. Hallelujah. And if that is not clear to you, you can call it why we are here. So Kingdom Mandate. Why are we here? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Your word is made simple by your spirit that speaks expressly to us. And tonight, Lord, sweet Holy Spirit, take these lips of clay and speak to us as simple as we will understand, that every heart will be stirred up unto good works for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. All right, Kingdom Mandate, why we are here. Hallelujah. I was just thinking, and my mind went back to when we were young. And in primary school, our fear was that our teachers should not report us to our parents. We know what will happen. Amen. But now, nowadays, it's the teacher that is afraid that the children should not report them to their parents. Did you see the difference? When we were young, we were afraid. I'll be pastor. You were afraid that your teacher should not report you to your mother or your father. But now, it's the teacher that is afraid that the children should not report them to the parents. May God help us. All right, Kingdom Mandate, why are we here? Mark chapter 6. We understand that, like in the church setting now, I'm going to be touching on the church because as the body of Christ, we ought to be growing. We ought to grow in dimensions. And I'm so passionate about this because were it not for the church, I would have been lost. Were it not for the church, I had no direction. Yes, you can say that. But thank God for the church. And that's to say that the church, to some people, the church is like a compass. It's like a guide. Like Pastor Emma will always say, the church is like a hospital. So all manner of people are brought to the church. All manner of people come to the church. People who are oppressed, people who have given up on life, people who have so many things going on wrong with them. Yes, they are free. If they like, let them dress naked. They should come because the church is the hospital that will transform them into that very express God's express image that they are meant to be. Hallelujah. All right, God calls individuals and gives them a vision, just like here, we understand that God calls the set man, so there's a set man of the house. God calls individuals and gives them a vision. So the set man of the house has a clear vision of what God would have him do. Amen. But this is not something he would do alone. Praise God. Amen. Are we following? I know we are tired and we're just coming from holiday, but let's just participate. The work is not something that only an individual will do. True or true? Good. So what will he do? Build a team. He will raise a team. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God doesn't call a team. He calls what? An individual. So there's no time that God will say, okay, Pastor NY, oh yeah, a set man, Pastor Bolaji, oh yeah, call and say, all of you, I'm calling all of you. No, no, no. God calls an individual. And that individual duplicates himself. He raises a team. Hallelujah. Amen. So God doesn't call a team, but expects the individual, the person he has called, to raise a team. Amen. So who is a team? What is a team? A team is a group of people. When I talk about team now, like for Pastor NY, the first thing that comes to his mind is Arsenal Football Club. So for Kenny, a team is the choir, right? So for Liverpool, you work alone. So for Brother Toby, a team, you know, I'm just talking about what readily comes to your mind. A team is the techie crew and all that. For Mrs. D, when you just mentioned a team, the first thing that comes to her mind is the people she works with in her circle that she gives directives to. Hallelujah. So, and we have that everywhere. We have that everywhere. Even in the family, we have family team. Sometimes in the family, you have people that are on your side. You have people that are on the other side. Any topic that is raised in the family, even when you are not there, you know the likely people that would be on your side on that matter. Amen. So a team actually is a group of individuals or people who must work together or who are meant to work together to achieve a set goal. A set goal. And whether they win or lose, they are still a team. Amen. I have a friend, in fact, one of my good friends, Ima. Anytime I'm lost in Lagos, is the one I used to call when I was still trying to find my way around Lagos. The guy is a die-hard Arsenal fan. In fact, it's like Arsenal fans are very, very dedicated. The guy is a die-hard Arsenal fan for very many decades. He has been glued to the, whether or not they win trophy or they win plates or not, he's just there. He's dedicated. He's committed. He can never, give him plus $1 million, he can never choose any other. He say, we stay here. We stay here. And that's what the team is about. Whether or not you lose or you win, you stay with the team. Praise God. So we stay together to achieve our set goals as a team. So a team's success or failure is dependent on what the team set out to do. Okay, because there are people who, you know, sometimes when you gather people and you say, okay, let's work together. From the word go, you will identify some people who say, I beg this thing where they won't start. So, I'm not sure say go work. Those are people with negative mindset. So they are starting with a failure mindset. But you have people who say, whatever it is, we will definitely do well. Whatever it is, success is sure. Let's do it. There are people with that kind of motivation. There are people with that positive mindset. Praise God. And a team's success or failure is dependent on the team's outlook. Whether they are ready to win, whether they are ready to succeed or fail. The mindset is very, very key. Hallelujah. All right. Let's see Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called the 12 to himself. How many? 12. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Hallelujah. Let's see Acts, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. You know, in the military, there's something they practice, and it's called there's this practice of togetherness that they practice. You know, there's one other word for it. There's this spirit of togetherness with which they do their thing. You know, they will not be separated for any reason when they work together. You know, and the reason why they do it is because they know that as a fold or as a, what do you call them now? As a battalion or what? What's it? There's a word for them. As soldiers, they know that they will face death together. So when they train, they are drilled with everyone learning exact same thing. So I've watched some of their trainings where they do. They have the ones with water, the ones on land, the ones that they jump from the helicopter. So many things that they do, even underwater. They know that they will face death together. So they carry out all the practice together, all the drilling, all the training. If you single out a soldier, every other soldier in that fold knows exactly what this one knows. So when you see them go to war, that's the reason why you see that they can give demonstrations, they can give signals to one another. They give signals. You will not understand it, but you just see them. One will be describing, say, there are three people there. I'll take two, you take one. They are describing without speaking, even from a distance, because they know what they should know. Because these are things that helps them like tools to work together as a team. Amen. Amen. And I hope you know when we're talking about team, just as it applies in the business place and in our family, it applies here too in the kingdom of God. It applies here even in church. I hope you know that. Praise the Lord. We are not encouraging Barakbo, but we have teams in the house of God, because pastor will not stand here to preach and go and play keyboard and run to go and set the mic and run to go and do all that things. No. There are people positioned in his life at different places to assist him, to team up with him, to help him carry out the task that is set. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, ask your neighbor, are you playing a part in the team? Ask them, are you playing a part in the team? Good. Like Pastor said, he said, it's we know that it's God's house, it's our Father's house. But it's only when it comes to this our Father's house, that we do the things that we don't do in our earthly Father's house. I've never seen anybody that would get angry one day and say, I won't be a part of the family again. I don't want to be a part of Sajira's family again. From now on, nobody should call me Sajira. I'm leaving this family. Una don't make me first. No. It's only in the Almighty God, our Father's house, that somebody will jump first and say, I don't like the way this Allah talked to me. From today, I'm not coming to church again. It doesn't work that way. You are a part of the team. You are a part of the family. And that's why the Bible says, blessed is everyone who is named after this Almighty. Because there's something, there's a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. So that togetherness that they practice is because they know one day they will face death. And so they have come to that realization that I must not survive alone. I must make sure that I put in effort to ensure that the next man survives with me. Praise the Lord. So our purpose also as a member of the team in the household of God, in the kingdom mandate, is to ensure that the next man does not fall, but he rises, she rises, so that we can both make the kingdom together. Yes, so we read in the book of Mark how Jesus picked 12 people and delegated them and said, go, give them powers. I said, go and deliver people of unclean spirits. Go, preach my word. Hallelujah. The same thing Jethro said to, that's Moses' father-in-law, said to Moses, he said, if you continue like this, that you are the one who will always do this work directly with the people, you will die for nothing. Share them into groups and mandate people, delegate people with leadership skills. Show them what to do. So as you show the ones that you are picked, just like Jesus picked 12, when he shows those 12 what to do, they also go and impact lives. It wasn't Jesus himself that sat those people in their numbers, in their hundreds that they fed. He wasn't the one. The disciples did. Delegation is part of the kingdom mandate. Hallelujah. So I said, We are also seeing what? Acts chapter 13, verse, okay, we'll just see a few verses. Verse 1 says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called, is it Niger or Niger? Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Saul that he's talking about here is Saul that converted to Paul. Okay. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Amen. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Jump to verse 9. Verse 9 says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him, was talking to the man who thought he could business with the gifts. And then, and said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately, a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. I thought Paul had just been commissioned. Just yesterday. Just a few hours ago. And fiam, he started work. Immediately, he commanded, he proclaimed, and what he said came to pass. It's not until pastor has finished all the anointing oil on your head that you can heal the sick. With the one you know already that you have been learning for long, you can step out and do something with it. Hallelujah. You see, what God deposited in each and every one of us is very power that is in him. His very power. With the mind of showcasing himself, his abilities through us. Hallelujah. You know that some people will stay in a job that they hate for years. I don't know if you've seen people like that. Some people will stay in a job, on a job that they hate, even for years, as long as the money is good. Do you know? I don't like my job, I don't like my job, but they are not leaving the job. They are complaining. They don't like the job, but they are there, as far as the money is good. You see, such people, if you take the money out, they won't be there. Because the money is the only thing that's keeping them, not that they like the job. Hallelujah. Why are we here? I see, the way I see the church setting is actually God reaching out to us, drawing us to himself, and through us, drawing the world to himself. Hallelujah. So it's a job. It's a work. There's a work to be done. I remember Habakkuk 2 that says that until the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, we can't stop. We have work to do. Habakkuk 2:14. Yes. So for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. Have you seen where water covered the sea before? Eh? Okay. How many of us have passed through Third Mainland Bridge? You see, are you seeing the ground? Can you see the soil? No. Water has covered everywhere. Water covered everywhere. Okay, you probably have seen this one in films where you see there's rock under the water. You have some rivers like that where the water has so risen to a point where even some hills and mountains are, you know, covered by water. You see a lot of things, you know, under it. That's the description I'm trying to break into our hearts. That the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. How? Our testimonies. Why do you come to church? Why are you here? Why are we here? We're not here to play. That's not why we are here. We're not here to gossip or slam one another. That's not why we're here. I saw somebody who was going to pray for somebody who is sick. Another person was going to pray for this married woman who was sick and the woman is pregnant. And this prophet carried the woman and slammed her on the ground in the name of performing miracle. And he jumped. Have you seen wrestling? Well, wrestling is my favorite entertainment sport. Just like John Cena, and slammed himself, bash, on the woman. We're not here for gymnastics and all that. That's not why we're here. I know that sometimes, yes, once in a while, church wants you to feel good. Church wants to give you a fizzy, so they give you AC, cinema, movies on, give you picnic treats, games, and all that. It's beautiful. They are all good ideas to spur us up and encourage us. It's lovely. It's a motivation. But why are we really here? The essence is first to worship our Father. And if you have that in your mind, if you recognize that in your heart, you won't need pastor to ginger you with anything. Do you know that there are places where if you take the incentives that people are being paid in church away, they will never come again. Oh, you don't know? It's not everything that the church can say. It's not everything that can be brought to the open. There are people who think the church is like a sugar daddy. So whatever my life need is, the church should take care of it. Why are we really here? He bore my sins, cleansed me, and gave me a second chance at life so that I can live. Paul said, Paul understood that. And that's why Paul said, the life I now live is not me, Paul. It is Christ living through me, because the me that I am is dead. It's Christ that is living now through me. So I don't have any say. I don't have a choice. I live for him because he lives through me. I repeat, if you have that understanding, you won't go and say, pastor did not call me for 2 weeks that I did not come to church. If he not call me, I'm not going to church. You won't say that. Because there are times in your life that your father has not called you for 3 months. You didn't get angry and say, I'm changing my surname. I won't be a stagiary again. No, you didn't do that. That's not why we are here. We are here because our lives have been tied to this God. There's nowhere you can go. So you that is saying, no, I will not go until pastor comes, you are just fooling yourself, because there's a life for you to live. Every man will stand and give account of what he did with this life that is given to us. Hallelujah. All right. So let's see. Where did we stop? 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3. You know, there's too much play. Sometimes we need to take some things very, very seriously. Amen. To that point where we know that I am going to church because I'm building myself up. I'm going to church because I have a clear understanding that I have a responsibility. Pastor, call me or not, check on me or not. My life depends on this. I am going to church. Because I remember when we were still in Magrelos. I started church newly. I don't know, for whatever reason, I noticed that my office, I was working in the bank in Bagada. Church was in Magrelos. My house was in Abudu Street. I come late to church on Sunday. See my house, see church. I will be coming late to church on Sunday. There was never a time that I would come early for all those early periods. But on Monday to Friday, I don't go late to Bagada. Until one day, a set man called me and said, so, I don't know why he didn't enter me, but after service one day, we were talking, and he asked me, he said, are you still going to work? I said, sure. Or he asked me something like, will you be going to work tomorrow? I said, sure. He said, what time do you resume work? I said, 7:30. May 7:30, he said, you know, did that office. So sometimes I get to the office after 7, and then our service used to be 8 o'clock or something. No, there was a time we're having early morning service, Pastor. I mean, 7 something. There was a time we're having very early. And then I told him, I said, sometimes 7 o'clock, I'm in the office. And he said, why come you can't make the one that is closed? And then he asked me, it's just like they poured cold water on my body. It's not to vex. When pastor asks you some kind of question, it's for your own good. Your life depends on it. It's to shaping you. Another time again, I wore, what did I say, gift, or I bought it? I don't know. Sometimes you take your hand, carry wahala. I bought something. I don't even know what it is. I was traveling and I bought one chain or something. Playboy. They wrote Playboy. I don't even know what Playboy was. And I just carry. I wear. I come to church. So set man come and say, are you a member of the Playboy crew? I say, play with, play guinea. He said, that's what you're wearing now. Like that me that wore something I was singing in convention. I didn't know what was on her dress. That's how people advertise for hell without knowing. You can the billboard you're carrying saying, hell is good, hell is good, hell is good, hell is good. And then you don't know, and you are speaking in tongues. You're advertising from a different brand. So it's like me going for Globalcom interview, and I'm wearing red. I'm looking for trouble because Globalcom color is green. It's even better I'm wearing something that is even acceptable and appealing to them than that I'm wearing a competition, the color of a competitor. You know? And set my ass and said, Playboy. So that's what you're wearing now. I looked at it immediately. I removed it from my neck. So I got home and kept it somewhere. Next thing that happened, my son-in-law that was living with me, Chibuzo, Bobo, carried it. I said, if you wear that thing, I carried it and went to throw it away. Before you are advertising for the enemy. And that's how I say, hey, I started looking at it. Before I wear it, I look at it very well. So I said, well, how come you can't make service on Sunday morning? But office, you will not go late. When I go home, I ask myself the question a million times. I said, what is actually wrong with me? How come on Sunday? You know that Sunday morning when you wake up, the sleep is different. The way the sleep is sweet is different. Except that you love God very, very well. I've been at Ali. So, it's different. But you see, that's where discipline comes in because you know the value of what you have. I have to be about my father's business. Hallelujah. Because you cannot tell your office that, just imagine Mrs. D is supposed to go to work on Monday. And then she's telling the office that, the sleep this morning is different. And the AC, the way the thing is cozy. Let me just sleep for another 12 hours. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Eh? Hey. You're looking for trouble. You are looking for trouble. So it's different. It's absolutely different. So I said 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right? Let's see. Okay, and I, brethren, from verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So he's talking about where they are arguing. Me in a music department that day. Ushers, you can't use our side. And dividing, you know, he said it's not called for. So who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we can all work together as a team. We can all work together as a team. Hallelujah. I'll jump quickly and just talk about a few things that will help us build stronger bond to work together as a team. We have to start nurturing, just like Paul said. He said, they are still behaving like babies because he cannot even give them meat yet. He said, because they are behaving like babies. So we ought to nurture ourselves to that point where, you know, when you nurture yourself, you enjoy the growth that you have. People will be happy, people will see it, and people will know definitely that you have grown. From where we were to here, you could see that people have grown. There are people that until you call them, they can't come to church. Now they come to church effortlessly without anybody reminding them. People have grown. In fact, they take the responsibility and the initiative to begin to even draw others to come. That is growth. So what Paul was actually saying is, if there is still need for Mrs. D or Mrs. Sajere to still call you in the morning and say, are we going to see you today in church, or should we bring vehicle to come and carry you? That means you are still a babe. You are still a baby. You've not grown. You are just eating meat, just eating food, and you are not growing. May God help us in Jesus' name. So we need to nurture ourselves. We need to nurture ourselves. There's this thing in the family. Sometimes you see in the house, when you check the house and the family now come to family setting, it's almost like, oh man, don't crucify me. It's almost like, I watched one video, I think I shared it in my old school group, I think they had about, what are six children or so? So the father and the mother and six children, so they all stood and they said, run. So the idea was, when they say run, the father will go to this side, the mother will go to this side, and the children can pick whether it's daddy or mommy they are running to. So four of the children ran with the mother to this side, two ran with the father to this side. After a while, not up to slight second, the other two that ran with the father ran to this side. And somebody said, watch, even the father will soon run to the mother. What I got from there is this. I remember once they asked me, my dad and my mom were going through a case, and they asked us, they said, who will you follow? We all raised, we are going with our mother. You see, mothers nurture children, okay? Nurture the children very well. So we know fathers provide for the home. Yes, but you see, there's that sense of bonding that happens between you and your nurturer. You and the person that nurtures you. Amen. Yes. So somehow it happens. It works. It's like that too spiritually. There are numbers of ways. I'm not saying it because it's here. There are numbers of ways that have some things that I didn't even know. I couldn't have known. I've had the privilege of getting knowledge of them and using it to solve the problems that I have from my pastor. It happens spiritually too. So because I feed from that source, it has also built Value. Don't just go out there and open your mouth when you hear when they are talking about pastor. You open your mouth anyhow and talk anyhow. Because sometimes if people say their fathers are useless, you think about it. Is your own father useless? No, my father is not useless. My mother is not useless. I saw a child one day that was insulting his mother. Apparently, the mother was forcing him to go to school. He was cursing, carrying sand and pouring. And oh boy, the slap I gave him from his left hand corner jaw in his full life, he will never forget. He will never forget. The mama will burn you from back. You know that kind of backhand from behind, left side. When they give you, your ear will just be making boom, 3 days. The sound will not stop. Huh? So sometimes you come to a platform or you're on Facebook, people just give people data, just open their mouth, wah, and then people are talking about pastor. Yes, I know that sometimes some people do things, and then you just open your mouth and, something must be wrong with you, because even the one that you have that is blessing you, you have not even placed value on it. You have not cherished it. It's just like what I started with. My life would have been a total mess. A total mess. 95% of all what I learned about marriage was in the house. You don't get such privilege elsewhere. You don't get it from the club. You don't get it from the street. So we must recognize why we are here. There's a whole lot. Our lives are tied to it. There are things you may never learn in Harvard. You will learn it even here. From scriptures, from the word. Sometimes some lessons that Setman will teach and all that. And sometimes some way that Pastor Muyiwa will teach. When I get home, I'll be talking, discussing with my wife. I say, today, this one, I don't enter Harvard College. I've learned this is business class. And I apply them even to my business. In some places, that is seminar that you will pay some good amount of money for. But we get it free of charge just to enhance and beautify our lives. Amen. Let's learn to live like... You see, when a woman goes to a salon, and make their hair, especially when she makes an expensive hair, neighbors and everybody, even say, madam, you look good, your hair is fine, your hair is nice. You know, say not the entire head. Yeah, she'll say, thank you. And then when she comes home and her husband has not said the hair is fine, what happened? Why is it that this one day important part? 100 people have told you on the road that your hair is fine, your hair is beautiful. Did you make it here? You say yes. This, that. It's fine. She they wait for that one, he's fine. That's when she will, even when she's serving you food, she will dangle the head and everything in front of you so that you will see it. Say it. Amen. Why am I saying that? You see, until the man now says, this one is beautiful. You say, I've been waiting to say, I've been waiting since for you to say it. For team leaders that are here, commend your team members. It's the way to nurture and help them grow. They perform better when you do that. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we say, look around, if anybody that's not around, give them a call. Many people don't call. Sometimes think about it this way. What if that call I'll give that person what if that is just one important call that will make a significant mark in that person's life at that moment? That means I have failed in my duty, in my assignment that God has given me. See, it's not everybody that God will carry like Jonah and throw in the mouth of a fish. No. It's not everybody. God has given you an assignment. Do it. Everybody will not hold a mic here like pastor and preach. But there are things that you can do in your own beat, in your own duty post, that is more important. That even pastor will value, because it could be something that he himself cannot even do. But in that little, it could be just chit chat, you're reaching out to someone, and the person comes to church. It's valuable because pastor could not have reached out to that person at that time. Amen. So whatever unit it is, whatever department it is, commend people, encourage people, a pat on the back. We not take anything from you. We not reduce you in any way. Amen. All right, so I'll stop here until there's another opportunity, and so we can continue because it's a long one. Amen. But I want us to know that it is wrong for you to think that we in the church are not supposed to rate, commend, or check how people are doing or how people are faring. It is wrong. Do not think that. It's okay for people. It's okay for people to lead us to check on you. So why is he asking now? Is he concerned? Is he his life? I remember when I came to Lagos newly, I didn't know it was a crime to cross the express, especially where there's pedestrian. And I crossed. That should be like around after Anthony, around those Pedro side. I was new. And I just crossed. In fact, those wicked people, they were waiting for me. In fact, they have this, I remember too, they removed their shirt. So they crossed. So as I saw that I crossed, I said, okay, it's okay for people. I crossed. And then halfway into the road, that's where they want to hold me, for instance, center of road. So the guy say, you are crossing the express. I say, you come, what you do? You are flying on the express. Then he say, it's risky for your life. I say, is it your life? Is it not my life that I'm risking? Until they carried me to their station. And then our guy started explaining. I said, hey, I didn't know now. I'm a stranger. I just came to Lagos. So I think finally they left me. They allowed me. One man that was arrested also there. The man don't piss her body. Fear of I think maybe they called money for him that he would pay. The man don't piss. Don't wet toy, but don't piss her body. So it's okay for people to check your life. It's okay for people to keep check on you. How are you doing? How is work? How is your relationship? Some people keep their relationship in secret. Hide her from pastor. Hide her from everybody. So they marry the first son of the devil without knowing. And then later you come and give pastor a head. They come, they do fasting and prayer and all that. Thank God for pastor. I don't tell you, say, if you don't come and call me, because I will not even. So, live your life in such a way that people that are accountable, people that can be held responsible on your behalf, can be rest assured that yes, this one is carrying out the assignment. This one is doing what they are hearing. This one is carrying out what they are hearing. Because a lot is invested into us. Amen. A lot is invested into us. Before your pastor come here to preach, he has prepared himself. Study, restudy, and prepare. Then after all this investment, and then you now do the wrong thing, how do you think it feels? No, from human level, how do you think it feels? How much more God? It's like you seeing stone coming and you still open your eye and make the stone enter. It's foolishness. So there are things we cannot do. There are things we cannot afford to risk. There are risks we cannot afford to take. Of all people, pastor, they say, preach, preach. Go do evangelism. Go out. Then you now carry Bible. The day you finally agree to manage, go evangelism. You say, now, brother, now you go because you are Brother Jonah. You won't go, brother, to go and preach. Or that girl that you know that is even ordinarily like this, it blink eye for you like light when they pass boy. You carry the sinner today, you won't go preach for in house alone with cotton and blue light. Then you come back and say, no. There are things you cannot afford to. There are things you just can't afford to. Amen. Amen. Even we take corrections. One day, I think recently, after pastor's message, I told him, I said, this message, carry Koboko. Pastor said, we are carrying Koboko for here. Sometimes he may not even know it, but me that is receiving it, I have received what God has for me. Amen. And I told him, I said, see. He said, okay, see. And just that. For me, it's correction. No pastor can stand here and be preaching love, but God is wiping you because there's something you are not doing in line with that word. Even though it's love, it could be peace. But you, something is flogging you. Do something with it. Don't just shrug it aside. Do something with it. Amen. Let's rise up on our feet. We're going to pray tonight. And it's just a simple prayer. And what is that? Paul said, I live yet not I, but Christ who lives through me, who lives in me. Lord, the life I now live is the life of Christ. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I must get it right. I must do right. I must act right. I must live right. The life of Christ, the life of Christ. The sacrifices paid on my head will not be wasted. Oh, the blood that was shed is a price and it cannot be wasted. It cannot be insulted. It cannot be abused. Oh, they say when the usefulness of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. The blood that was shed on my head is so precious. And so I must act right. I must do right. I must live right. Thank you, Father, because I live right. Thank you because I do the right things. Oh, you cause there to be rivers of living water flowing through me. I am persuaded. I'm moved. I'm compelled to live a life of love, a life of patience, a life of joy. Oh, joy springs forth within me. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.